Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here. It is Sunday, September 30th, 2012. How are you, Yvonne?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Getting by.
Why? Are you sick? Tired?
If you'd been reading my Twitter updates, you would know this. But like,
I don't read Twitter.
I know you don't. You don't even have to go to Twitter. I post it on my blog every day. The summary, you know.
I'm not doing too good about that. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm the last couple weeks I've been doing the kidney stone thing.
Oh, again? Oh,
well, it's been a few years since the last one, but like, so for the last 2 weeks, I've basically been getting by taking, you know, narcotic painkillers.
Yep.
And I had a CT scan on Friday, and they're like, the results are apparently such that it is in such a position that it might warrant something other than just taking painkillers and waiting. I'm getting referred to somebody maybe, unless it gets bad enough that I have to go to the ER before then. Anyway, fun stuff.
I've known Sam for 20 plus years, and the entire time I've known him, this has been an issue.
Well, okay, not the entire time. The first time it ever happened to me was about 2 years after graduation.
Yeah, so it was like 94. So okay, 18 years. I'm sorry, I'm off by two. I'm, you know, Jesus, sue me. Okay, all right.
It didn't happen in college. It started.
It did not happen in college. That is true. Yeah, it just happened just right after we graduated. So
anyway, so like if suddenly in the middle of our conversation I just start screaming and run away, you know what's happening.
Okay. All right. Good. It's not my personality. Okay. Good.
It's not your personality, but you know, the painkillers are fairly nice. You know, they work. I think what I'm on is like a generic Vicodin. You know, so hey, fun stuff.
So this week, like on Friday, I have an employee of mine who like 3 weeks ago got rear-ended in a car accident.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but totaled the car, got a new car a week ago. Friday, somebody broadsides her new car.
Oh, good. That's perfect.
Like, I mean, I was like, really? I mean, you know. Oh, man. So there you go. You know, make you feel a little better. Or some people have some worse luck. I mean, my Lord.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you know, so things happen, you know. I'd mentioned while we're on the small talk portion of the thing, I'd mentioned a while back, you know, we have Amy got her driver's license last year and has been driving.
Yeah, she got into an accident. I remember
basically if you add up, like, so far, let's see, she had a speeding ticket, she's had a couple you know, she ran into a pole twice.
You know, she ran into a pole twice.
You know, once a little dent in the upper in the front right.
Daddy, go down,
just a second, Alex. And then another time, she backed into something and smashed out the tailgate of the van. But then, just 1 second, Alex. Let me finish telling this story. Then I'll head down. The most recently, she had just gotten back. She was at a friend's house. She was in her friend's house, and one of the other people who was at her friend's house backed out and smashed into her door.
Oh, God.
So, at least that one, she wasn't even in the car. It was parked.
Yeah, right.
No fault whatsoever there, but yet again, it was more, you know.
More damage.
Exactly. And so, like, so we've been averaging, since she's been driving, about, you know, $1,000 every other month worth of damage.
Oh, God.
So, anyway, I gotta go take care of Alex for a little bit. Let's take a quick break. I do have real stuff to talk about. We have real stuff, but he needs to go potty.
There's a lot of real stuff happened all week, so we can certainly cover that.
I'll be right back after I help him go potty and drop him off with his mom. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about
all
that.
All right. Okay, well, well, that's good. That worked out because Manuel Andres' mother just picked him up. So there you go.
Well, there you go. And so, see, and this is what happens here. Like, you know, I'll tell you, like, it's, you know, we now have, like, every once in a while, it's like, daddy potty, but hey, it's better than diapers.
Okay, yeah, good point, yep.
Yeah, although, you know, there's parts of it that he's still working on, but for the most part, he knows when he needs to go, and, you know, he needs a little help sometimes, but, you know, hey, that's fine. Anyway.
You know, why do people keep, you know, claiming that California's lost population over the last 10 years? I don't find anywhere where that's actually accurate.
It is not something I've looked into.
Well, the reason I'm saying this is because, I don't know, I'm going, you know, back into the political debate, there was a political ad that I was looking, there's an article in Real Clear Politics regarding California and how the Democrats are running and how they lost supposedly hundreds of thousands flee Democrat-run California. It's on this moron's website, this Breitbart bullshit thing.
Ah.
So I go and I pull the census information for California population, and it's not true.
Well, now, here's the thing. Now, just because some people flee doesn't mean that the population goes down if more people are coming in.
Well, yeah, but he's actually saying that the emigration has exceeded the inward migration.
Okay.
And according to the numbers I've looked at, I can't find a single place where that's actually true. California population has continued to grow, you know, over the last 10 years. And, you know, and he says about, you know, Democratic-run California. I mean, Schwarzenegger was governor until, what, last year?
Yes, but yeah, the legislator has been Democratic the whole time.
Well, yeah, but still, anyway.
Before we get into other things, there was one thing I wanted to do this time, and I wanted to put out, and I haven't talked to you about this before, but, like, last election cycle, there's something we did that we haven't done yet this time around.
Which is,
have someone on the show who's a supporter of the Republicans. Because we have not, you know,
we have not given our fair shake.
I may or may not end up voting for Obama. I'm still thinking about the Libertarian for a variety of reasons, and maybe if I ever get time, I'll post something on my blog about that. But Romney's not even in consideration. Like, right. For me, like, it's just not
well, it's
even
like
conceivable.
We did that questionnaire. Where was it that we did? The one that, which is the candidate for you?
Yes,
which,
yes.
I can't remember. I think it was the Green Party candidate was the one that was more aligned to me.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to vote for a Green Party candidate simply because I think the state is too close. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I really don't want Romney to win. I mean, I would like, I mean, in my choice of, like, situations, if, you know, I mean, if by voting for the Green Party candidate, what I am making is Romney become the winner, I mean, I would, you know, my compromise is really to vote for Obama, okay? I mean, that's the reality, even though I know that I am more aligned with that candidate's choices. But, you know, it's like one of those things – what I'm doing is something called compromise, which apparently in Washington has been lost over the last 15 years or so. So that's my –
So I intend to, like, at some point put together, and the thing is I need, like, a few solid hours to do this, and I never get a few solid hours, but I intend to put together a blog post basically outlining sort of what are my personal top 5 or 10 issues, and what are my thoughts on those and how important they are to me, et cetera. And then based on that, you know, compare against the candidates and see where I end up.
Right.
You know, because so that's sort of like a version of these quizzes, which, by the way, the quiz you're thinking of is the I Side With quiz.
Right. I Side. Yep. That was it.
Yeah. And so if you Google I Side With, you'll find it. It's sort of a personalized version of that. That's really only about the issues that I care about the most. So someday maybe I'll have time to do that. But, you know, hey, maybe not. Anyway,
well, let's go. What do we want to start right now?
Let me finish saying this. A listener out there who is a Romney supporter, please send me an email at abelsmay@abelsmay.com If you want to actually come on the show, just say so and we'll arrange it. We'll get it on the show. We'll talk to you. If you don't want to be on the show and just want to say something about why you feel the way you do, just put it in the email and we'll read it and talk about it.
And I promise that if you're polite, I will not call you a fuckhead.
You know, Yvonne made this promise last time 4 years ago and he kept it. He was good. He was good. We had a Romney support. Well, a McCain supporter on. And it was a polite, good conversation. I must admit, even after the conversation, both Yvonne and I were still sort of mystified. But you know, it was a good conversation. So if you are out there, please contact me. We'd love to have you on.
Yes, that would be good. That would be cool. Okay.
Okay.
So the
answer where to start? Yes, I'll give you the quick summary because things have gotten a lot worse for Romney over the last week in my electoral college analysis, as a lot of states that were sort of close and in contention, Obama's lead got bigger to the point where it's like, okay, that's really well. Basically, the lead was over 5% now. Which means that while it's not completely inconceivable that Romney would bring it back, it takes something
major. Highly unlikely.
It takes something major.
Right.
So right now, Romney's best case, his best case in my model is to lose to Obama 294-244. This case, if everything just goes the way the polls are saying right now, Obama wins 347-191. And one thing that's interesting here is there's zero, zilch, none close states that are leaning towards Romney. All of the states that are close, Obama's got a bit of a lead in. Okay, what that does mean is that this 347-191 is probably a ceiling for Obama. He's probably not going to go any higher than that.
Right.
Because to get any higher than that, he has to take states where he's currently behind by more than 5% and bring them back into his column. And that seems, just like it seems unlikely for Romney to pull back some of the states that are where Obama's lead is that big, it also seems unlikely that Obama's going to bring any of these into play. There's one of those, Nebraska's second district, which casts an electoral vote on its own. The very last poll there had a tie, so maybe that's possible, but. The rest look like they're pretty far away. So we'll see how it goes. But I actually expect that it'll get tighter from here. Like it won't maintain quite this margin, and Romney will bring a few more states
but
back.
But Romney could fuck up even further. I mean, he has shown an uncanny ability to just say, you know, or produce the wrong thing at the wrong time. I mean, I'm wondering, you know, I mean, let's face it, what could swing either way, right? What could maybe push a couple of extra points one way or another? A major gaffe at the debate?
Well, and like what we've seen, like there have been a number of people, political scientist type folks, posting about, you know, the historical impact of debates, because there's a lot of like urban legend about how, you know, the debate in 1980 changed the course of the election and Carter was ahead. And then after the debate, Reagan caught up and won. There's stuff about, you know, Kennedy Nixon and how Nixon looked like all sweaty and therefore he lost. A lot of solid research has shown that, like, if you actually look at all the factors before and after these debates, they really had very little effect. And, you know, in the Kennedy election, Kennedy-Nixon was one of those elections that was very, very, very close. So practically everything could have made a difference.
Right.
But, you know, in the Ronald Reagan example, for instance, Jimmy Carter wasn't ahead right before those debates. He was ahead in one poll. That, you know, flipped after the debate. But, you know, and maybe we didn't know better in 1980, but nowadays we know, hey, there's a lot of statistical noise in these polls. You're much better off if you do an averaging of a bunch of polls. You have a bunch more data. And if you go back and apply that to 1980, you find out that, well, actually, Carter was trailing almost the whole time.
Yeah, Carter was trailing the entire way. The whole hostage situation thing really had him, like, down together with the inflation, together with a whole bunch of stuff all at the same time. I mean, but it was really the Iranian hostage thing that really did him in. And so, Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was really in trouble.
Anyway, the bottom line here is debates very rarely make any difference. You come out of a debate, everybody thinks their guy won. And even if they admit the other guy won, it doesn't change their votes.
Well, but it can change a candidate's perceptions.
Yes,
okay,
I think this applies the same thing we've said about other stuff. Where this is an area where it's not going to help you, but it can make it worse.
It can make it worse, and I think that's the one thing. Like, for example, I still will never forget that Dan Quayle, Lloyd Benson debate. Okay, all right, like. Gosh, what year was that?
It was 88.
Holy okay, all right, yeah. Jeez, I was still in high school. That debate, I mean, Dan Quayle, my God. I mean, he was just awful. Now, Bush won the election. However, Dan Quayle's political career after that was pretty much over. Okay, he never won another freaking race. Okay,
right.
All right. After that, so what I'm saying is that although it didn't have a bearing on the presidential election, however, it was just, you know what? I mean, that guy freaking won another thing again. So a major gaffe here can cause something, but you know. I don't know.
And there's an argument that like that the vice presidential debates were actually the final nail in Perot's coffin in 92
right.
as well. Because
Correct.
He picked a vice president who was like
Who am I? What am I doing here?
Exactly.
It was the first thing he said. Right.
Yes. So there are lots of arguments that he was done anyway, but that certainly
pushed them over the edge in the done category,
right? So anyway, we have some debates coming up. They're going to be interesting. I'm definitely going to be watching. But is it going to make much of a difference? Probably not.
I don't know.
What you always hope for, it's the same thing as people who go to like car races hoping for a crash. I mean, that's what's
right.
going on here.
Right.
You know, if everybody does a competent job, then there might be little things here or there, but nothing that's going to make a big difference. The only way the debates make a huge difference is if somebody makes a huge mistake.
And I mean, but I think that obviously in these debates, the guy who could have, you see, because Romney is behind.
Yes.
He's going to obviously try really hard to do something, okay? To try to make Obama look stupid.
And they say, there have been reports this week that, you know, part of his strategy, he's pre-memorizing zingers to use.
Pre-memorizing zingers. Oh, yeah, that comes across so natural. I think that the problem that you've got at this juncture is that the guy who most probably can make a major mistake is probably Romney, okay, if he's going to try that hard to really go after him. Because what are your options here are A, you go after him like freaking like crazy, okay, or B, you try to play it safe so you look presidential, but, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what really the right call is. I mean, if it were me, I don't know. If I were coming up and I'm the guy behind. Ah, crap.
Well, you almost have to be aggressive about it.
I don't think he got any other choice.
Like, he is in a position where if he just continues how he's going, he loses. He needs
right.
something to majorly change the terms of the debate.
Right.
So, like, and really, you know, and we've said before, the way that needs to happen is Obama has to screw up. So you try
right.
to bait him into a situation in the debates where
right.
he's going to screw up.
Right.
And the problem is, like, if you're trying to do that, if you do it too transparently or you do it badly, it comes off badly on you. It's a high-risk scenario.
Right.
And, of course, in the meantime, if you're so busy preparing your zingers that, you know, somebody asks you a question that's out of your comfort zone and you look confused –
yeah, and you come back with like I don't know. Well, you didn't build that. Oh yeah, that's not the question. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, don't know.
What's interesting, and I just barely skimmed an article on this, but the first debate, the format's going to be like these debate formats have gotten more and more stilted. You get 2 minutes, then you get 30 seconds, then you get 2 minutes, then you get 30 seconds. And if you mention the other candidate, then they get to rebut for 45 seconds, you know, all this bullshit, and there are lights that go off and blah, blah, blah. Apparently, the first debate, I guess some of it will be that way, but there's apparently a section of it where the moderator, Jim Lehrer, just has free reign. It's like a 10 to 15 minute segment where he's just no rules, whatever the moderator wants. And so it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. I mean, you know, I've said numerous times, what I really want to see for one of these debates is you stick both of these candidates in the green room together, you lock the door,
and you leave them there until they start talking to each other?
And you televise it live. You don't even let them know they're on the air.
I will tell you something. I will guarantee you that if they sat in the green room for an hour, they would like do everything possible to not talk to each other. This would be the most the hour and a half of awkward silence.
But
you've
ever seen. Even
they pull out the phone, they walk around,
even
grab a snack.
Even that, like watching them do that, would give an insight into them that you're not getting otherwise.
I guess, yeah, that would be interesting, I gotta admit.
You know, lock them in a broken-down elevator, you know? Stuck in the elevator for 2 hours, live stream on TV. That would be awesome.
There you go. Brilliant. There you go. So that's the new debate format that Curmudgeon's Corner is proposing. If any of the major parties are interested in our debate format, please contact us at abelsmay@abelsmay.com, and we will certainly arrange for our live broadcast of that debate format.
That's right.
Yes.
Anyway.
Live stream through a little Mac computer. We don't really have many resources, but you know, maybe we can splurge for that.
So, any other election thoughts?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, you know, I think more of the debate, I think, that happened this week didn't have to do with actually any facts and figures. I just get people debating whether Obama was as far ahead as it looked like, whether the Democrats are like taking it for granted that they're going to win.
Right.
That has been more the debate this week.
Yeah, I think you've had people saying, can we trust the polls?
Right.
And the Republicans are like, oh, all these polls are skewed. Yes, of course. Even like the Fox News and Rasmussen polls are.
That's exactly my point. I mean, the Fox News poll, okay, that came out last week showed Obama with,
it
was a 5-point lead, right? 5-point lead. This is Fox News showing that Obama has ahead by five points.
You know, Fox is just part of the great liberal media conspiracy.
Exactly. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, shit. Even the Republicans can't figure out how to do a fucking poll that shows their boy ahead. So I don't know. I mean,
there has been debate on how big the margin is. I have seen also some conversations starting about what do the coattails look like? Are the Democrats going to be able to retake the House of Representatives? The Republicans had been talking about taking over the Senate as well, and the question now people are saying, well, looks like that might not happen. The Democrats look like they're going to hold.
I think it's going to be status quo.
Yeah.
I think the margin that the Republicans have in the House may narrow. It looks like it's going to narrow some. It looks like Alan West is going to lose, and I'm very happy, especially since I don't have him. I'm not going to have him representing me anymore, so that makes me even happier. Okay, and it looks like they are going to have some losses, but I don't know if the losses are going to be big enough that they're going to lose a majority in the House. I don't know if that's the case. But
well, and apparently, to the simulations that people are running on this don't yet show that that's the most likely scenario, but are showing that it's not unlikely either. You know, it's within the realm of possibility, depending on how things go. So, you know, we'll see.
I'm looking at one of the battles for the House maps on realclearpolitics.com.
Yep.
And it says over here, like right now, the current projection is, let's see.
Republicans 229, Democrats 183. Let's see, and there's like 23 toss-ups in here. So it looks like, I mean, let's see, 145. Yeah, I mean, it still looks like, yeah, they're going to have a narrower lead, but, you know, the Democrats don't seem like they can take over the House. Doesn't look like.
Well, like I said, there have been a number of analyses that say that aren't yet predicting it, but are saying the chances of it are increasing. So as we move forward. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll maybe talk about some non-election stuff for a few minutes.
Okay.
We'll be back after this. Okay, here we are. So, Yvonne.
Yes.
Any thoughts on anything other than the auction? I noted down a couple little things, but
okay. Well, I don't know. You want to talk about the Apple apology on the maps?
Sure. Apple apologized on the maps and said, "Hey, maybe download things like Waze or Bing." You know,
yeah.
And I like Waze, so that's a good recommendation. I mean, I think, you know, we talked about this briefly last week. This is definitely something where they probably should have somehow the quality control process failed. I mean, and you and I talked, there are lots of areas where this is fine. There are lots of areas where it's no issue, but
right.
the number of areas where they do have deficiencies are fairly significant, and lots of people are running into these problems in real world use of this, like trying to route themselves for turn by turn directions from point A to point B, and it's just giving nonsense results. And you know, major portions of the world where they don't have good coverage yet, and it's like, you know, I realize at some point you have to release, and then you improve from there. But Apple has typically had a fairly high standard for that, and there have only been a few other cases where they've fallen down. And
the initial launch
of Mobile Me.
They've had a few.
I mean,
they've had a couple.
It's not like they're perfect.
Right.
And I mean, even for that matter, Siri. A lot of people, you know, when Siri first came out, are like, "Hey, this thing isn't quite ready for prime time."
Right.
So you don't have to go back that far in time, and I've heard people say, "Well, they've done this before, but not on a marquee iPhone feature." Well, you know, arguably Siri. Although a lot of people still were pretty happy with Siri, so I'll give you that one maybe. And of course people ask, would Steve Jobs have stopped it? And there's no way to know that.
There's no way to know that. Because
you know, lots of people are like, on the one hand, this is exactly the kind of thing Steve would stop, and it was known for stopping things that were almost ready but not quite, and he says, "Nope, not ready yet, go back." But on the other hand, he let through several of these.
Yeah, but not just that. The reality is that his vitriol and hatred right now for Google, that he had because of this whole Android thing, would leads me to believe that he wanted the maps off. Everybody wanted the maps off so bad.
Yep.
That it really wouldn't have mattered.
Well,
and I don't think Steve would have stopped.
One thing that was revealed this week: they had another year on their contract with Google.
They did have another year under contract with Google. However, Google went and like in the negotiation, basically pulled a whole bunch of strings in terms of they wanted to add turn by turn, and Google said no.
Yep. They had another year on the contract if they were keeping the status quo with the Maps application.
And
Google wasn't going to push it forward.
Yeah, and Google was refusing to let them use the Maps for turn by turn and for a whole bunch of other things. And so it was kind of like Google put them in a hard place where they were like basically, you know, said, yep, you can stick with ours, but you know what? You can't do any of the shit you want to do. So, you know, what are you going to do? And basically goaded them into freaking like ripping them out.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think that in the end, the loser winds up being Google anyway, because the way they make money is by making this kind of data and stuff available. They certainly don't make money on the fucking Android phones. Okay.
Right.
They make money on making this kind of data available on the damn Android phones. And, you know, to me, it probably would have been a better situation if Google smartly would have just decided, okay, all right, you know what, we still want to be partners. We'll let you do turn by turn. We'll let you do this. We'll let you do that. And they said, no, no, no. And I'm like, okay, well, no. Well, then, you know, it just turned into an untenable situation, basically.
Well, even then, given what you mentioned about Apple's attitude, which I think is corroborated by everything I've read, they might still have said no. Apple might have still said, well, go screw you anyway.
Yeah.
But they might have, in that situation, used it as a longer bridge and taken another 6 months, taken another year to develop their internal Maps app before releasing it.
Exactly.
And because if nothing else, you know, this... Even if, you know, for 95% of the people it works just fine, and it's just the 5% noisy, it's a PR disaster. And you know, but, you know, you will give it to them, and Apple has done this on a few occasions in the past where they have come out with the apology and actually have said, we're sorry, we screwed up, this was not up to our standards, we're going to fix it.
Right.
You know, And this, you know, we mentioned last week, this is exactly the kind of thing that you can fix over time. You can bet every single issue that people are reporting has people working on it. You know? And they've probably got a huge queue right now. They're going to take a long time to work through it. But you can be sure that as people are bitching about, you know, how, hey, so-and-so town doesn't show up. This map looks weird. This thing. Right. You know, that's going into a big long list, and Apple is trying to fix them all.
Right.
And how long will it be until the Maps app is up to snuff, as it were? I don't know. 6 months, a year?
I will say this. Listen.
I mean, it'll be a lot better in just a few weeks.
Look, I like it, and I will tell you why. Okay, one thing this week. Okay.
Have you actually used it for turn by turn yet? Last week when we talked, you played with it in your house.
Because I got a GPS with turn by turn in my car. I never used the handheld unless I was not in my car. Okay, all right. Yeah. I never used my phone for turn by turn. However, what I did use it this week, which was very cool, is the fact that they have now live traffic. Okay, right. And the other day, I'm leaving the office on Friday, and there's this massive, you know, there's a massive pileup of cars, and I don't understand why, and I want to see where, you know, until where it goes, if I decide to stay on the road or not. And I opened the map, I looked at the traffic, and I saw that it was just up to the next exit, so I was able to just get off on a side road, go up to the next exit, and get past the traffic.
Yeah,
so
I was like, and the thing with that is, though, like, you know, I mean, it's not new. Like every map, a turn-by-turn mapping app available on the iPhone has had that feature for a long time.
Right,
you know?
And it's one of the problems where Apple is trying to, well, can we add this? No. Yes. Can we add this? No. Okay. Can we add turn-by-turn? No. I mean, at what point did you have to go and say, I mean, I don't think they had a choice other than to dump it because they were so limited in what they could do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you were damned if you did, damned if you didn't, basically, I think, you know. So they took their lumps, they're taking their lumps, and, you know, eventually, the great thing, it's big data. As long as people keep feeding it data, it's going to keep getting better, and that's it.
Yep. Okay, one more note on the iPhone 5 stuff. I mentioned we were getting one for Amy. It's been ordered, although we gave up on going into the store. We just ordered one.
Okay.
So we'll see. It'll get here someday. So
how long did they say that it would take to get delivered?
Well, the website says 3 to 4 weeks at this point, I believe. But well, like,
that's an indicator that they're really selling light hotcases.
But I've seen a few things on the web saying that they're beating their promises, and even when they say 3 to 4 weeks, they've been arriving in less than two.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see how long it takes. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. We'll figure out a couple more things to talk about. We'll be back after. I said that already. We'll be. Yeah. Bye. Right back. Yeah.
Exactly.
Whatever.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, here we are. So, Yvonne, more, any more for you? Any more?
Gosh.
Netanyahu?
With the bomb thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, wait. No. I had something.
Okay.
I should have said this at the beginning of the show, but I forgot. Okay. But nonetheless, momentous. Okay, look. You know the New York Times have been charging for subscriptions for a long time. I refuse to fucking like pay for it. Okay.
Yeah.
Even though I read the damn New York Times all the damn time online. Well, I finally
gave in. Okay.
Yes. So, but here's the thing about how I buckled. Okay. All right. I took the subscription that actually added getting weekend delivery of the New York Times.
So you want the like paper copy?
Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday only.
Okay.
So. Along with the digital one.
I can't imagine ever wanting to willingly look at a paper copy.
I gotta tell you something.
At this point.
Okay. So I thought. Other than the fact that you can't, like, share something easily, there's a lot of shit that we miss out by not grabbing the paper version, which I've noticed over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, unless you take explicit time to sort of browse through everything, because there's no like sort of flipping through the pages and having things catch your eye.
Yeah, there is. Of course there is. That's actually one of the big things that I've always done with a paper.
No, that's what I'm saying. You don't have that online. You do
right.
have that with
no,
a physical
right.
paper.
You have that with a paper. I mean, that's the thing. Well, here's like one thing, for example, okay, that was in the paper that you would not have seen on online. You know that those islands in dispute between China and Japan? Okay.
Yep.
The Chinese bought this huge double page middle section. Okay. All right. The China Times arguing their arguments as why did those islands belong to the Chinese?
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was interesting. And there was a couple of other things during the week that were kind of like that, which I was like.
So were they all ads?
For the most part, I will say that there was a combination of ads. There were some campaign ads, but there's also just some articles that I probably wouldn't have paid attention unless I had actually gotten the frickin' print edition.
Yeah.
I just read the Sunday Times today in paper. Okay. Which, you know, for the second week in a row. So,
I'm dumbfounded.
It's different, though, I'll tell you this, after getting used to doing it electronically. But there are, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see how long I keep reading it until, I don't know, it just keeps arriving and I just keep stuffing it in a corner and I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, I don't know. I can see the novelty of it. I mean, I remember way back in the day, occasionally, like, grabbing an actual newspaper and saying, hey, this is good, look, I'm getting the news of the day. But, like, I haven't felt any desire to like read something in physical format like that for a long time. And in fact, whenever I have to, like right now I'm reading a book that's not on my Kindle. I'm reading an actual physical book right now.
And
I kind of resent it.
Actually, I will tell you something. You know? That my wife, okay, who asked for her iPad specifically to read books, has decided that she prefers to read them on paper, period.
Yeah, see, every time now, like, if I have to, like, Yeah, about one out of four books I read is still on paper, approximately at this point. And every time I hit one of those, I'm like, God damn it, this is so inconvenient. This is so annoying. And I read it much more slowly than I read it electronically because I'm less willing to carry it with me everywhere. I'm less willing to, like, read it in, like, the couple minutes I'm standing in line for something. And just in general, it annoys me now when I have to read something in physical format. And the same thing is very much true. Like, the only times I've bought a magazine in recent years are when I've had a flight somewhere and I wanted something for the 10 minutes while I'm not allowed to use electronic devices. And then I'm kind of like, I can't believe I'm flipping through this, like, thing. You know, it annoys me. And
I will say this.
Having said that, if I have a long document to read for, like, work or something, I still print it out.
Same as me.
But, like, I think, though, if I had a tablet to read it on, I would not. I don't like reading it on the laptop.
Here's something, for example. I'm looking at one thing that comes along with it is the actual New York Times magazine, which, has a couple of things. It's interesting. But, you see, the layout of the pictures, you don't pay as much attention to damn pictures on fucking online. No. They come in little tiny corners. So, for example, in this one, they're having something about hotels. Okay, there is a cool picture of a hotel room in Miami Beach that has pillows. Okay, three pillows that say actually the pillows say control alt delete.
That's on the three exciting, throw pillows. I guess.
Just thought it was kind of stupid, but you wouldn't pay attention. I mean, you see. Yeah, I'm gonna get you a set of those
pillows. Throw pillows.
Yeah. Yeah. Say control alt delete. Yeah, I like that idea. There you go. Kind of very geeky pillows. But anyway, yeah, that's been my thing. Yeah, I did that. I know it's a little bit crazy, but in retro. But I don't know. What the hell? We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, and so Alex is now sitting on me again, trying to show me what he's eating by opening his mouth.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's exciting. Always good. I got one more short topic, so let's take a break, and we'll be right back with this, and then we'll wrap it up.
Wrap it up?
Yeah, hold on. We'll be another commercial. And don't play with the microphone, okay, Alex? Okay. Okay, we're back.
Aha, we're back. Yes.
So at the moment, Alex is sitting with me, but he's being good. If that changes, we'll just wrap it up early, I guess. anyway, so I just want to get your thoughts. California, this last week, we were talking about California earlier, but one of the things they actually, they've been known for, like, partisan gridlock with not being able to get anything done. But one thing they did do in the last, I think it's last week, maybe the last 2 weeks, was their legislature... Yes, you can use my phone. Pass the appropriate laws to legalize and regulate driverless cars.
Yes, I did see that a little bit, yes.
And so, Google's been experimenting here, obviously, but now they're ready to, one of the big obstacles here was in pretty much everywhere, is illegal to actually do this. Yeah, they always had to have a driver in the driver's seat waiting to take control. And and also, even then, technically speaking, that driver could have been pulled over and ticketed for, not actually, driving.
I know, but it's what's coming. I mean, this week I thought about it and I resigned myself to the fact that that is going to be the reality. Okay. Right. Because, look, that automation is going to reduce accidents. It's going to reduce fatalities. It's going to reduce insurance costs. It's going to be quite safer. I mean, it's going to happen. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Right.
And some people are saying that it's probably in 20 years, so they may not be that far. They may be about right.
It may be less.
It may be less.
Because the cars is, you know, people used to say, well, we're going to have to build the infrastructure and the thing and the that. And I'm like, no, you know, the cars are going to be able to independently do it. They're not going to be, they're not going to need a specialized roads, a specialized anything. I mean, even some of the cars right now are just talking about, I saw like on a number of car features right now, for example, cars that will automatically, if you don't hit the brakes and you're getting too close to a car in front of you, you know, that something is being built into car, the car will stop.
Yeah,
on its own,
and they've got ones to like stop you from doing a lane change if there's somebody in
correct.
Your blind spot. They've got all
correct.
Kinds of stuff, and some of the interesting stuff. I posted a link on my Twitter to new design factors for robot cars from Brad Templeton, and he goes through the thought process on this. There are a lot of implications if you get a lot of these on the road, in terms of how you can do things. I mean, like a fundamental idea of like. You know, the car drops you off somewhere and then goes and finds itself someplace to park while you're doing your thing.
Right.
And when you're ready, you sort of whistle and it comes back, you know?
Right.
And so you don't need necessarily parking lots next to, like, all the places you go. You know, you can have the parking lot off somewhere, out somewhere, or you might not even need a lot. They can go find street parking, like, 10 miles away.
Right.
And, you know, and they can come back when you
then
need them.
Then you come back and pick it up, yeah.
Yeah, you know, smaller vehicles become more practical because, look, yeah, they mentioned, like, the all sorts of car sharing strategies become more practical.
Right.
You know, because right now people always, like, the vast majority of the time I get in my car, it is just me driving to work and driving home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of cargo. I don't have passengers. It's just me. But, like, I'm not going to buy a one-person car because a decent amount of the time, I do need
extra room.
Extra room. There'll be another video in just a second. You know, and I do need that a significant amount of time. But, you know, if I could easily, like, sort of call on them whenever I needed them. You know, you could have, like, the one-person car for most of the time, and you use the bigger car when you need to, and you don't necessarily need to buy them. You can, like, timeshare or something. You know, there's all kinds of things like that. Same thing with getting gas. Like, right now, all the gas stations are right next to, like, you know, they concentrate them in major streets, highway interchanges, stuff like that. You could put a gas station in the middle of freaking nowhere, and the car goes and fills itself up when it wants to.
Well, yeah, but that would be kind of like not really like whatchamacallit, fuel efficient.
No, it's potentially there's a trade-off between fuel efficiency and efficiency for the time of the humans involved, and also like here we'll turn it. See, look, you just there you go, and also like real estate and stuff. You know, you don't have to buy the high-value real estate for the gas station. You put it out further, gas is cheaper.
Well,
you know,
I have, like, come to grips with the fact that I don't know if my son will drive a car.
It's certainly, like, not, like, you know, by the time we get there, I'm betting by the time your son and my son are old enough to be driving, I bet you the default mode in normal cars...
It's an automation mode.
They probably will still have the manual controls. They're not going to get rid of them that quickly,
right.
I bet. But, you know, and like, frankly, like, you know, I may still be driving the car I just bought when my son starts to drive. You know,
right.
Hopefully it'll last 15, you know, 16 years. But the next set of cars I buy will almost certainly have like significant automation features where the expectation is going to be for kids, you know, hey, I'll hop in the car and tell it where I want to go and then I'll kick my feet back and watch TV or something.
Right.
You know, and it'll get me there. And you'll probably still have lots of vehicles that have manual modes for people who like driving and that'll stick around for a long, long time. And the automated cars, you know, probably the biggest source of safety issues will be the folks who are driving their own damn car instead
of
letting the computer do it.
I know. And that's why I'm wondering, I mean, how long will people be able to hold on to those cars and drive them on regular roads? Because insurance companies and everybody will be like trying to freaking like force all those vehicles off the road.
Say, you know, you want to drive your own car? You go to the specialized racetrack. You
basically,
know?
Probably, yeah, I'm sure.
But keep yourself off the damn actual roads where real people are.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, I've come to accept that that's the reality. I won't really like it very much, but
I... Well, you know, I'm thinking about that, and I enjoy certain aspects of driving, but I would be lying if I told you I would not appreciate a situation where I could hop in the car in the morning, tell it to take me to work, and go back to sleep.
There are certain times, I will say, that having an automated self-driving car would be convenient. Okay, however, for the most part, I like to do this. I enjoy the actual driving. So it would be quite annoying, I mean, in many occasions.
Like I said, you will probably be able to do it manual for as long as you want, Yvonne.
We'll see.
Just like you can buy a stick shift today.
I know, and that's what I have one. That's my point.
And like, I resisted getting an automatic forever and ever. With the current car, I got an automatic, and the only reason I let myself is because it has one of these, you know, manual override paddle things, which I was like, it's a semi-automatic. I can still do the manual stuff if I want to.
You haven't touched the paddles, huh?
I've done it twice since I bought the car, and both times were just to say, hey, look what I can do. It wasn't because I was actually using it for real life. Alex is upset, by the way, and this goes back to last week, because the YouTube app sucks.
Oh, boy. There it goes.
It's still because of you. And so he tries
Google, to... fix the YouTube app! It sucks!
He tries to, like, watch the videos he wants, and it's not working the way that he expects it to, and there's, like, extra clicks he doesn't understand to get to everything. Like, you know, it's like the old one, you just click on it and you watch the video. Done. Yep. And then when the video ends, it gives you suggestions for more videos. And so you keep going. And he knew how to navigate that whole thing. The new one, it's just all screwed up. There are all these extra steps that are stupid and get in the way. And even as an adult who understands what those extra steps are, they're kind of annoying. And, you know, I was thinking, like, I'll find our old 3GS phones. Or whatever they were called, and you know they're not on the cell network anymore. But you put them on the Wi-Fi, and you can still use the YouTube app. I found one of them, and its internet doesn't work at all anymore, even on the Wi-Fi. So the YouTube doesn't work. So somewhere around we've got two more of these things. So I'm hoping one of them will work. And of course they don't upgrade to the current iOS. They're so old they don't do that. I'm hoping one of them, the stupid YouTube app, will work for him. But anyway. Driverless cars. I'm looking forward to it. You're dreading it. But anyway, take a look at that article I mentioned. It's if you Google, you look at my Twitter.
I did look at that.
And then they also mentioned back-facing seats, much more realistic.
Oh, fuck yeah. Let me go, like, yeah, let me not even look at what the fuck is going on. Oh, God.
You know, you don't need to. You put your little capsule, watch your TV. You don't even need Windows. I would still like Windows.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of...
You know, look, I rode on the... Last year, I rode on a train at 200 miles an hour. Yes. Okay, all right? It's not very exciting.
Well, right.
I mean, it's just completely uneventful.
But it got you there.
It got me there very fast.
And safely.
Yes, it did. It did. And in comfort. Yes, true. But let's face it, we fell asleep on the way over. I mean, I guess that for certain things it's fine. But like you said, I guess I'm going to have to join a track or something and just do that, you know, not when I'm going to work and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, or you know, you can keep it in manual mode, but...
My wife just put a couple... I've got Facebook notifications linked to my thing. Apparently my wife is hungry, okay?
Okay, go
on. So I gotta go. Okay,
we're out of here. We'll talk to you next week. We'll know what happened in the first debate, and
she's calling me on the phone.
Okay, all right. We got to wrap this up. Okay.
Yeah, get that woman some food. We'll be back next week. Email me at ablesman@ablesman.com with any questions, comments, or thoughts. Or if you want to be on the show to talk about why you like Romney or why you don't like Romney, but you're going to vote for him anyway. And we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.